Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text for today is the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. I will not reread it, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. This all started, that is Thanksgiving Day, with President Washington, not the Pilgrims, as we have been taught. And it was Washington who set aside 1789, Thursday, November 26th, oddly enough, the same date as this year, as the day of public thanksgiving and prayer. This decree of law was appointed to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and signal favors of Almighty God. In the fall of 1863, after the bloodiest battle of the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln saw it fit to have an announcement, an annual observance for the holiday, calling the nations back again to give thanks, as he sternly declares, "This year that is drawing towards its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful years and healthful skies. To these bounties, which are so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source." And I love how he uses source there, because he capitalizes it, and that lets you know that indeed he's talking about God. "From which they come. Others have added, which are of so extraordinary a nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the hearts which are habitually insensible to the ever-watchful providence of Almighty God. No human counsel hath devised, nor hath any moral hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, hath nevertheless remembered mercy. It has seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly and reverently and gratefully acknowledged, as with one heart and one voice, by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. It was a time when the harvest was not plentiful, when peace seemed distant. The Civil War alerted America to the fragile nature of everyday blessings. In the midst of all this turmoil and bloodshed, Lincoln called for a national day of prayer and thanksgiving. Though the hour was dark, and the hope was that all Americans would still be called back to the simple faith of their childhood. 8 decades later, in the fall of 1943, President Franklin Roosevelt proclaimed Thanksgiving to an anxious America. This time, thankful Americans were united, unified, backing their sons and daughters in another war. On that day, millions prayed for an end of the tyrannies of Nazi Germany and Imperial Japan. It seems that America, as a country, has had a long history of acknowledging the one who is the giver of all good things. At the very beginning of our country, the Declaration of Independence, our country's founding documents appealed to the Creator to justify our existence as a nation, declaring we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. These statements must make the politically correct in our country uncomfortable, for all these documents are purposely vague on who is the Creator. It seems clear that it is unconstitutional, though, to promote a creatorless creation, as the Constitution says we are endowed by our Creator. But that's a topic for another day. We know that our Creator is also our Redeemer and our Sanctifier. He is the only one who deserves our praise and thanks today and every day. The Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as spelled out by the Scriptures and defined by the three creeds of the Apostles, the Nicene, and Athanasian. So along with millions of other Christians, let us join in giving thanks to our Lord, not just today, but every day. Even during these tough times in which we live today, again, our nation at war, chaos all around us, our cities seem to be fighting themselves, our people seem to be despising each other, and yet we still have truly so many things to be thankful for. We have faith and family, friends, and freedom to worship. Yet with all these blessings, we have often in abundance. Sometimes it's easy to forget the giver of these blessings. God has provided for all our needs. Most important of all, He has given us the forgiveness of all our sins by sending His Son, our Lord Jesus, providing for all our physical, emotional, and spiritual needs. Jesus heals us from the deadliest of all illnesses, sin. And we often, like the nine in our text, forget to give thanks. We understand the nine, for we are the nine. So let us learn the lesson of the one who came back. Jesus blesses all with God's grace and lifted up their voices, that is, the lepers, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. This is truly the amazing point of the text. Jesus doesn't have to heal the leprous men. He doesn't have to do anything for them. But he did. He showed his own personal involvement in their lives. These outcasts of society, Christ makes whole, complete, and filled again, sending them to the priest to fulfill the law of the old covenant, to fulfill what had been proclaimed in Leviticus, so that they could be accepted back into society. And at this point, many are prone to ask, why doesn't Jesus just heal everybody for all time? And that shows that our thinking is wrong, that our thinking has been curved inward to ourselves, because that's a thinking of the flesh, not a thinking of faith. Because in faith, we understand that Jesus has indeed done just that, healed all of us. In his death on the cross, he died our death, and in his glorious resurrection, he proclaimed life and it eternal to all who believe. So with eyes of faith, we can stare death in the eyes and know that it's not death, but life for all who believe. We can look at disease and know that it's only temporary. We can look at the tragedies in this world and know that they will pass away. For one day our Lord will come and call us all to be with Him, and we will rejoice at the sound of that trumpet and hear the good news of our salvation. For Christ our Lord Jesus has fulfilled all in giving Himself for us. This is why John can write that for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. He is our grace and our truth. He is the one who has taken our infirmities and carried them upon Himself. He is the one who has redeemed us from the empty way of life handed down to us from our forefathers. And so He has mercy and pity on the leprous men and heals all 10 of them, only to bring glory to God. And in doing so, shows us the perfect example of God's grace, unmerited and undeserved love, God's righteousness delivered to us at the cost of Christ. This is all ours. Because if you don't understand this, because of the weight of our sins, we are left like the lepers, all outside, left only to cry out in desperation, "Lord, have mercy on us." As we cried out at the beginning of our service today, as we confessed our sins of thought, word, and deed, "Lord, have mercy on us," and more importantly to each one of us, "Lord, have mercy on me." And even before we asked, Jesus answered through His word, and through His works, "Your sins are forgiven you. You were bought at a price." Jesus' very body and blood. This very body and blood joins you to His death and resurrection and baptism, as you are marked as an heir of the kingdom of heaven, adopted by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He continues to give you His mercy today as He welcomes you to His table, to a feast that is grander than any Thanksgiving meal. The feast of forgiveness. The Lord's body and blood given and shed to nourish your sin-starved souls and strengthen our faith. This is truly something to give thanks for today. This is the gift of God. And only by faith can we have grateful hearts. And that too is a gift of God. We see that in the text. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving Him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. While nine did not return to give thanks, they perhaps wanted to thank Jesus by doing what He said. I don't know, practicing the eighth commandment. go show yourselves to the priest. As we often strive to live only by the letter of the law, which makes us no better or different than the Pharisees. But you see, the difference between faith and knowledge is knowledge only knows the restrictions, while faith is busy and active and knows the gift. We're not nine cleansed. We're not all ten cleansed. Where are the nine? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? This should have been the attitude of all of Israel. The long-promised Messiah had come to crush the serpent's head at the place of the skull. But only faith responds by seeking to be where Jesus has promised to be. Today, we, like the Samaritan, are in God's presence. Through faith in Christ our Lord, let us give thanks and praise to God, not just in church, but in all we do each and every day. Today, we, like the Samaritan, fall on our faces in true humility, taking nothing in our hands to bring, simply thanking God for his mercy, confessing that he has cleansed us through the sacrifice of his only begotten Son. Today, we, like the Samaritan, receive Jesus and his gifts with thanksgiving. He has cleansed us from our sin. This forgiveness through Jesus prepares us for our perpetual glory. Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. The Samaritan is not only outwardly clean, but by the gift of faith, eternally clean. This God-given faith has made him well. The psalmist does it for us by setting this in order, prophesying so many years before, asking the question, who forgives all your iniquity? Who heals all your sins? And answering the question a few verses later in Psalm 103, the Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. Today, our cry of mercy has been answered. We are clean by the blood of the Lamb of God, and our God-given faith has made us well. Come today to the Lord's table. Receive a foretaste of the feast which is to come. Receive Jesus, given and shed for you for the remission of your sins. In this God-given faith, we come to where Jesus has promised to be and give him thanks, knowing that he has promised to take us to be with him for all eternity. So happy Thanksgiving, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. May God continue to richly bless the pilgrims who are here and all throughout the world, as we continue to give him all thanks and praise. For he spared not his only begotten Son to give us his grace, giving us grateful hearts through his gift of faith, and prepares us for perpetual glory together. Come today. Taste and see just how good the Lord is. Your sins are forgiven you. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.